Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 2. If you would like to turn there in your Bibles. Luke chapter 2, and I'll be beginning at the first verse. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I don't really know how angels' emotions work. I feel there must be an awareness on their part because they talk quite a bit about things such as joy and fear. But I wondered this morning if they were ever nervous or anxious. I'm also not certain how angels get assigned their earthly task. But as I prayed over the message this morning, I wondered how the angels felt as they came to announce the birth of the Messiah. Sure, they were filled with joy, the very joy they came to share. They knew this was the most important, wonderful news ever shared, but were they nervous about being the one to share it? I don't know. But I can tell you, I was anxious this morning. There's always some sense of nervousness for me on Sundays as I prepare to share God's word. It's something beyond me. It is so much bigger than me. I want to be sure I am responding obediently so that God can use me as his servant, as his vessel of the good news most effectively. But this morning, I had an even greater sense of anxiousness. You see, I woke up early, and there was just this overwhelming feeling, Greg, today is important. Today's message is really important. And so I spent time praying. I spent time praying for each one of you that today you would hear and see and receive not what I have to say, not what I have to share, but what God's message is for you today. You see, this very familiar message is, in fact, the most important message ever shared. And if it is heard and accepted by those who hear it, it will by far have the most impact of your life. That was true when the angels came to share the message of Jesus' birth, and it is true today. If we look at the manger, what do you think and feel when you see the manger? Here are some of the possible words that came to mind for me. Miracle. Beautiful. New life. Hope. Peace. And joy, which we've talked about for the past 3 weeks. But today, we focus on love. How is the manger a representation of love? It is love because it is God incarnate. Incarnate is a fancy word that means God in human form. When we look at the baby in the manger, we are looking at God. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among them. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." The message of the manger is truly amazing and wonderful. It is the world's introduction to God in physical form. It is the embodiment of love. But that's not the end of the story. Have you ever held a newborn baby? Victoria says, yep. Last week, I got to hold Cooper Lawrence Ogden, who was only 10 days old. I actually held him for about 30 minutes. It was a wonderful experience. I felt all the things mentioned earlier. I was witnessing a miracle of new life, which brought with it the beautiful promises of hope, peace, and joy, even amidst the reality of sleepless nights and dirty diapers. But as wonderful as this experience with Cooper may be, his mom and dad does not want Cooper to remain this way. Will and Casey know God has a plan for Cooper, a plan that will exemplify the expression of love which exists in, around, and through this miracle of new life. This was also true of baby Jesus. As he left the manger, the message of love became more evident. Jesus' entire purpose was to demonstrate the reality of the power of the love of God, so that all who believe in him might not perish, but have eternal life. Suppose, think for a moment, that you knew you had 33 and a half years to live. What would you do with your life? That's what Jesus faced. What did Jesus choose to do with his life? Some people might think about how much money you can make, build a reputation that would impress others, obtain a position of power. But because Jesus knew what his purpose really was, Jesus' focus was not on things of this earth, but on something bigger. Let me share something with you and perhaps bring home what I said initially about this message of Jesus' birth being more important and impactful than any message you've ever heard. So, am I accurate in saying that if you knew you only had a couple of years left to live, you would probably live your life differently than if you're expecting to live to be 70, 80 years old? I'm thinking that the things that we mentioned about money and prestige and all of that just wouldn't be as important anymore. Well, I want to show you something. I need a volunteer. Sean. Come on, Sean. Sean's freaking out right now. I'm not going to make you say a word, Sean. Sean is probably the least talkative person on the face of the earth, but you're not going to get to hear him talk today. That's fine. Sean, I want you to take this and just walk as far back as you can go and keep going. He's got more, but I'm not going to make him go out the door and end at 29. You get the point. You can stand right there, Sean. So, remember the life that we get to live and the way Jesus chose to focus his life? We all have an eternity in front of us. Question may be where you're going to spend eternity, but you have an eternity. Everybody see this little red part right here? If you imagine this rope and Sean's on the other end, really Sean's not even there because the rope never ends. That's what eternity would be. This is my visual representation of our life on earth. The rest of it is our eternity. So if we're living in this period right now, how focused do you think we really need to be on this part of our life versus that part of our life? Do you get my point? And if we pay attention to how and why God created us, that's why he came. That's why Jesus was born. That's why he was in the manger. Because God wanted us to know his love. He wanted us to spend eternity with him. He wanted us to be excited about that eternity. And I'm telling you, we can get so focused on this part right here and how important we think that is that we miss the beauty of everything else. And let me tell you this before Sean puts the rope away. When we begin to comprehend the eternity, the love, the eternal love that God has given us, and we seek to live life with that perspective versus this perspective, it not only changes our eternity, it changes the way we live right here. And it is wonderful, and it is amazing, and it is the best it can be when we do that. So I beg of you, don't get yourself trapped in this part of your life when you've got this. You can wrap it up, Sean. Thank you, sir. So, life does not end on this earth. It's actually just a blip of our existence. For those who embrace the Christ child, the gift of love is in the manger. You will truly experience the greatest gift ever given. And another thing that's so awesome is that you don't have to wait to experience the gift of love. The moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you begin experiencing that gift of love here on earth. The hope, peace, and joy we spoke about for the past 3 weeks become yours immediately. And one of the things I promised you when we began this Advent season, I told you we were going to be talking about hope, peace, joy, and love in a practical way that if you didn't already have that, if you didn't already understand it, you were going to be able to claim it and experience it and know it. And I believe we've done that with hope, peace, and joy. And today, I want you to know how to have that type of love. Your outlook changes, your purpose changes, you change in a magnificent, amazing way when you begin to embrace this type of love and the great promises of eternity. What does love look like? One of the best definitions I could find was this. Hear it. Love looks like action and choices, prioritizing another's well-being, attentive care, and commitment shown through behaviors like physical closeness, supportive words, helpful acts, and shared time, all rooted in deep emotional connection, trust, and acceptance, even of flaws. It is not just a feeling, but a conscious decision to stay and support someone involving sacrifice and consistent, attentive behaviors. That's a big, long definition for love. And I'm going to tell you, there is no person on the face of this earth that can even come close to loving like that all the time. But God does, and He goes beyond this. I'm going to read that definition again slowly. And as I do, I want you to imagine how God has shown this type of love, not just to the world in general, but to you specifically. How has God loved you in this way? Love looks like actions and choices. Prioritizing another's well-being. Attentive care. Commitment. Behaviors like physical closeness and supportive words. Helpful acts. Shared time. All rooted in deep emotional connection. Trust and acceptance, even of flaws. It's not just a feeling, but a conscious decision to stay and support someone involving sacrifice and consistent, attentive behaviors. No person in your life can meet this definition of love all the time. But as I said, God not only meets this definition, He surpasses it a millionfold. He loves you so much. And the whole purpose of the baby being born in the manger was that so you might know and experience the love of God through Jesus Christ. Please hear me. I'm telling you as genuinely and simply as I know how. This is the most important message you will ever hear. And if you take it to heart, it will change your life forever. Jesus in the manger, hope, peace, love, and joy.